Shall we read in the book of Numbers this morning? In the book of Numbers, shall we begin reading in verse 22 of chapter 14? Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you, and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, How long shall I bear with this evil generation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall be bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. May God give us understanding hearts of this portion of His Word. The message I wish to bring this morning is Caleb's challenge. Caleb's challenge. And somehow the Lord seemed to lift this out of the Old Testament for this particular time in our progress in the church. We were reading in the Scripture, and when we came to Jephunneh, I noticed that some of you kind of just breathed or skimmed over Jephunneh. Now I'll tell you how you can remember that. We, back in the days of nursery rhymes, we used to have a little saying like this: Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh are the only two that ever got through to the land of milk and honey. Now aren't you glad I taught you a little poetry this morning? And just look how easy it is. You never forget it. It's right there, stay there forever. But there's a tremendous lot of historic truth in it, because the Lord told Israel, all those above 20 years of age, your carcasses are going to die and are going to be bleached in this wilderness. But he said, I have two that are going to get through: Joshua the son of Nun, Caleb the son of Jephunneh. And isn't it interesting to note, as we had a message on this wilderness experience, there is such a similarity between the pathway many people are walking today and the walk that Israel had in the wilderness. It was a circuitous route. It just went round and round and round. And you can read of it, and it's so monotonous, you'd wonder how they could go on and on without losing heart completely and wanting to go back to Egypt, as some of them did. And the circuitous route was because these people had witnessed, that generation had witnessed God's miracle power in delivering them. Like if you're a born-again child of God this morning, you may try to get away from it. You may try to forget it. But God allowed them to have that circuitous route in the wilderness for 40 years till their carcasses would fall in the wilderness. And then it was a wilderness route. Out of the dark wilderness that we have tread, oh, some way, somehow let us find, the poet has said. And many people find life just an aimless wilderness. They can't see the woods for the trees, as we sometimes say in psychology. And that's all life is to some people. no pathway, no guide. Therefore, it is a wilderness route. But it is also a hostile route. You remember they found the serpents, the fiery serpents that destroyed so many, and they lifted, you remember, the serpent of brass in the wilderness, and Jesus referred to it later in the third chapter of John where he was speaking to Nicodemus. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In other words, he said, even there in that circuitous and wilderness route, with hostile enemies all around, there was provision for salvation. All they had to do was look and live, as we sometimes sing. Now with that in mind, let us come to the text, the 24th verse. It begins, my servant Caleb. All right, that's, first of all, Caleb's master, Jehovah. My servant Caleb, because he had another spirit, the spirit of Caleb. Notice. And hath followed me fully. That's the dedication of Caleb. Him will I bring into the land. That's the reward of Caleb. And his seed shall possess it. And that was the ultimate destiny of Israel and every child of God. Now, with this back, let's come back to the first. My servant Caleb. Are you a servant of the Lord? You remember in Job we were studying, there was a council called in heaven and Satan appeared also. And the Lord said, hast thou considered my servant Job? And supposing there were a council called in heaven this morning and Satan was there to antagonize and to criticize the saints of God. And God would stand up and say, have you considered my servant Mary? Have you looked Mary over? Have you looked John over? Do you know George? Now take a look at him. He's my exhibit A. Would you be God's exhibit A this morning, or would you be like, for example, the case of Samuel? Samuel was a father of the school of the prophets. Tremendous. The contribution that Samuel made in the Old Testament, he stands up there almost on a par with Moses. Founder of the school of the prophets. What a tremendous thing. And yet you remember he was on a restless pillow in the night and he heard a voice calling, Samuel, Samuel. And he turned over and back and forth and finally went down to Eli. He said, what's this all about? He said, what are you calling me? Well, I didn't call you. Go back and go to sleep. So he went back and again, Samuel, Samuel. He goes back to Eli again. Happened three times. Finally, Eli said, now, Sammy, listen, this happens again. You just say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And then he said, you'll understand. Now, have you ever said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth? And the word heareth there means obey. So we begin with Caleb's master, but because he hath another spirit. Now, the spirit goes with the master. Jehovah was his master. But when we come to the spirit, because he had another spirit, and the spirit of the New Testament Christian is found in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts in the 42nd verse. And it says, and daily in the temple, daily in the temple. The spirit that they had in the New Testament time, daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to preach and to teach Jesus Christ. Now, if we were to break that verse in pieces, we would never get through. But it says daily in the temple. Do you realize if the 12, if we were 1,244 members in this church, in our annual meeting we reported, 1,244 members. Supposing that each one, between now and next Sunday, just passed out one tract. And those that go to Host Home Calling do lots more than that. Make many more calls than one. Many more witnesses. Many more phone calls. But let us say the 1,244. Now that's not impossible. In 7 days, couldn't you hand out one tract? In 7 days, well, let's ask, did you do it this week? What have you done this week for the Lord? How much of a servant were you this week for the Lord? Was the Lord your master this week? Because he hath another spirit. He had another spirit. And here we find if 1,244 members did that, just one tract, one invitation. Is that asking too much? That'd be 8,708, as I figure, and I'm not good in mathematics, but I think it would be 8,708. Can you imagine out of that many contacts? When I used to sell Knapwell shoes door to door on Halstead Street in Chicago to earn my way through school, I did that for a while, carrying a case with me fit to measure shoes, and I knew exactly how many contacts I made and how many sales I'd make out of so many contacts. The law of averages is what the salesman goes by. And out of 8,708 contacts, I wondered if we kept that up for a month, if we'd have room here now for the people. We think we're crowded now, but what would happen? Because he had another spirit daily in the temple and house to house. They ceased not. We're criticized sometimes for being spasmodic. We get all excited during a revival meeting and then we forget it. But are we the kind that go on and on and on and have a daily routine? Or do we let little things set us aside? Daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not. And if this program could be followed between now and when we go into our new building in September, my, oh my, I'm sure that we would be amazed and wonder already if we built big enough. But do you know, Spurgeon was asked one time, they said, "How is it, Dr. Spurgeon, that you have these full houses Sunday morning and Sunday night, year in and year out?" He died a comparatively young man in his 60s. And he said, there's no mystery about that. Well, they said, "How do you explain it?" He says, "Well, we'll perhaps have here in the tabernacle Sunday morning around 5,000 people." And he says, "They will represent," he said, "about 5,000 people going in and out among the shops and on the streets of London, telling everybody the good news that they heard on Sunday." And he said, "If they stopped doing that," he said, "Spurgeon's tabernacle," he said, "the Metropolitan Tabernacle wouldn't be full." He said, "It is the daily witness of this people." But here's a mystery that afflicts us in the ministry. It's good to confess our sins. We don't know why it is that some men have that gift or that ability to move others into active service. And with others, a service like this can become an exhibition. You come and you go to a ball game and you listen, enjoy the music, and enjoy or endure the sermon and wait for the benediction and hope we're not late, and you want out in the cares of the day, just another day. But these people ceased not to preach and to teach Jesus Christ. Preach and teach Jesus Christ. That's why we emphasize the Bible. We're emphasizing the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And Jesus Christ is the center of it all. When we think of these things, and we take that verse, Acts 5:42, if you want to write a verse in the front of your Bible to guide you from now until you have finished your course and kept the faith, it would be a good verse because it has something in it for everybody. But that isn't all. He said, "He hath another spirit." He said, because he hath another spirit and hath followed me fully. The secret was he had Jehovah for a witness, and he had another spirit. And now he said, and that spirit was a spirit, of course, that spirit was of faithfulness to God, and hath followed me fully. When people ask, can I do this or is it wrong to do that? You know they're not following him fully right then. Just a minute, someone asks a question. Is this wrong or is that wrong? You know they're not fully following him fully, and they don't want to. They don't want to. I had a very interesting appointment this week. Non-member person came. I've known them for some time, as I do many of you. And I exercise a pastoral ministry over anyone that looks to me. Made an appointment, couldn't keep it the first day. Called, changed it, followed. Later in the week, came. And in about, I suppose, an hour, you see, preaching and teaching. See, house to house, preaching and teaching Jesus Christ. And this person had a testimony, professed to be saved, but the doctor had found their health in jeopardy because of a tobacco habit, smoking cigarette. They didn't need to tell me that they smoked. I knew it when they came in the room. And one that doesn't use it's very sensitive to it. So this person wanted to know. Well, I gave him the five tests that I carry in the front of my own testament. So these are the rules that I follow. And I said, let's begin with the Bible, the Word of God. It isn't what the Baptists believe or it isn't what I do, but it's what the Bible says. And so we went over the five verses. They're very simple. We've had them many times. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So anything that enslaves you, other than one is your master Christ, all ye brethren, anything that enslaves you is a sin then. All right? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but all things edify not. I said, he admitted he was enslaved. All things edify not. Does this build you up physically, mentally, and spiritually? No. No. He wanted to, what he said, kick the habit. All right? I said, let's go a little further. Whatsoever you do all to glory of God. Whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do all to glory of God. Are you doing this to glory of God? No. No. I don't want to keep on. Don't you? No. So I said, how about this one? If eating meat caused my brother to stumble, I'll eat no meat while the world standeth. And does it cause your brother to stumble? Well, yes, he said. He's sure he'd used this a long time, and he's sure he influenced others. Then the last one was Romans 14:23. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Is it doubtful? Yes. But now this individual said, I've prayed and prayed and prayed about this, and I can't overcome this habit. Well, I said, the Bible tells me, thou shalt not steal. I don't get down on my knees and pray, oh God, keep me from being a thief. Or it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, I don't pray that God's going to keep me from committing adultery. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I said, you're going at this the wrong way. I says, when God makes a command, didn't want us to pray about. There's nothing to pray about. All you got to do is obey it. Just obey it. I said, nothing to pray about. And do you know that prayer becomes an escape mechanism to a lot of people that want to keep on with their sins? Do you know that? Escape mechanism. You're passing the buck on God. You're asking God to do something for you that he's expecting you to do yourself. This is only an instance. Maybe I shouldn't have even told what the habit was, because his habit might not have been yours. But whatever the habit is, God's word has spoken, he doesn't say, pray about this now. Now you can pray for grace. That's wonderful. Pray for grace. But don't pray for obedience to what God's plainly said to do, because he doesn't ask you anything unreasonable. Now, this is important. He said, my servant Caleb, Jehovah was his master, who had another spirit, and his other spirit was complete concern for that nation of Israel. He was going to be a trailblazer to bring a whole nation, and he wants us to be a trailblazer too, a concerned about others. And then he said, because he hath had another spirit, he said, and hath followed me fully. All you have to do to follow the Lord fully is not to have some hair-raising experience. And I don't object to people having experiences. I've said many times, you can have any experience you want to. But the one experience you must have if you're going to follow him fully is to obey this book. Don't pay any attention to what other Baptists do or what the Presbyterians do or what the ALC Synod does. Don't forget it all. That's ecclesiasticism. There are many in all these communions that are lost, never been born again. And they have to be brought face to face with the Word of God. Are you willing to obey the Word of God? Don't pray about it, just obey it. That's all. It's as simple as that. Well, notice he said, hath followed me fully. He said, him will I bring into the land whither he went. In other words, you remember he had gone over there with the spies, came back with the grapes of Eshcol, and he had seen those Anakims, those big giants, and everybody was afraid. And here he was promised, he said, him will I bring, he said, into the land whither he went. He's going to bring him into the land. This was his promise. We wonder sometimes, will we have deliverance or not? Is there a, we've come so far. And what lies beyond this? Well, does it make any difference, just so as John Bunyan said, he asked Pilgrim, he said, do you see yonder gate? He said, no, I can't see it. And he couldn't. He couldn't see the gate. Lots of people say they can't see the end. They can't see the purpose. They can't see why and how this is all going to turn out. The second question is, can you see yonder light? Yes, I can see the light. And of course, the light, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And the living Word was the light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. It giveth understanding to the simple, this word. Can you see yonder light? We can always see the word. We can always have fellowship with his son. See? Him will I bring into the land whither he went. And I'm sure there were many times that Caleb could not see how this was all going to come out. He couldn't see how that this nation could ever, all those from 20 years and down, how they would ever reach the land of promise. But he kept his eyes and heart on the light, on the light. Him will I bring into the land whither he went. Can you see yonder gate? No. Maybe it's better we can't. Can you see yonder light? Yes. Then he says, fix your eyes on that beam. Keep your eyes on the Word, the living Word, the written Word. Follow it. And don't worry about where it's leading you. He knows the end from the beginning. He hasn't lost his way. And when you do, it's usually through disobedience. The challenge of Caleb. His master was Jehovah. His spirit, a deep concern for others. He followed him fully was his absolute obedience to the Word of God and to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was personified in Jehovah. And him will I bring into the land whither he went. That was as sure as could be. And his seed shall possess it. You know, at this point, I came to this place in the message. I thought of a challenge that I gave to our people when we were building, not the building that's being built now, but the educational building where the Christian Day School is in session. Where we've had our Christian Day School. And in fact, one said to me, they said, what's going to happen to all of this when you're gone? And I said, it's going to be in the same hands it's in now. It's going to be under the same hands it's under now. It's going to be blessed with the same blessing it's getting blessed with now. And on that occasion, I remember I cited the instance of the little girl out in Temple Baptist Church in Philadelphia, who was turned away because they didn't have room for her in this little church. And she fell sick. She'd been turned away because her room fell sick, died very young. And they found wrapped up under her pillow in a little piece of scrap paper a few pennies that she had saved. And she said these pennies were saved to make the little church bigger so there'd be room for more children in Sunday school. I cited this instance and how that the pastor took this in those days. And he used it as a challenge to the people. They built a great church, seating thousands of people. And I'm sure people said, well, when Russell Conwell is gone, this place will be empty. There'll be nothing here. They'll be using this for a parking lot. Oh, yeah, maybe for some kind of storage. Huh? Well, today, when you go over there, they not only have a big temple that seats thousands of people, they've got a big university. They've got a big hospital. Now, it must be the Lord has some purposes. And Caleb was told, and thy seed shall possess it. I wouldn't like to think that we're just building for today. Let us analyze it for a moment. The darkness outside has deepened so noticeably in the last 10 years that if the same continues the next 10 years, the need for this place will be 10 times greater than it is today. And by God's grace, with all these schools going on, another 10 years, we graduated 68 from Pillsbury College this year, 20 from the seminary. Next year, we'll begin to graduate from the Christian Day School that God has given us. In 10 years, these servants of God going out, as the darkness deepens, and we have continued to train not only those who are called to his service, but the lay people in the Word of God, his seed shall possess it. This is the challenge before us. Yeah, I realize these kind of sermons are more didactic than they are inspirational. But if you'll mark that text down, Numbers 14:24, and you will dare take it to heart and find each word of it applicable to your own life, I'm sure that you'll find out if we use the building which we enter this fall to the same saturation point that we're using our present facilities, we'll be ministering to 4,000 people in this city. And it could easily be by the time we have our centennial in 1981. The darkness is deepening. God's call is the same. Samuel, Samuel, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. My servant Caleb, hast thou considered my servant Job? Hast thou considered my servant Mary, James, John, Peter? Hast thou considered him? I'm setting him up before you, Satan, as exhibit A. I defy you to break his testimony down. I defy you to get him away from the service of the Lord. This is the spirit we need. Three host home callings this week. 1,244 people would provide 8,708, I believe, contacts this week with just one in 7 days. But I was afraid to multiply it by seven to go up around 60,000 between now and next Sunday, because we wouldn't be able to take care of the people. That's too much. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the challenge of Caleb. We ask Thy blessing upon this simple text, so applicable to every one of our lives. May we too, our Father, be His servants. Yea, and may we too have another spirit of deep and great concern for our fellow men, and that we're willing in obedience to follow Him fully. O Thou Son of God, we know that Thou hast urged us to commit ourselves unto Him. Commit Thy way unto Him, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. We ask that Thou would lay heavily upon the hearts of this people this message, not for us, but for Thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.